Welcome to How to Turn Your Blog into a Book and Other Business Marketing Ideas with Kathy Thomas. It gives me great pleasure to introduce one of my newest friends on the internet. Kathy Thomas is an industry leader who frequently speaks at public seminars and workshops throughout Australia about working virtually. The founder of A Clayton's Secretary, established in March 1994, Kathy Thomas pioneered the virtual assistant industry in Australia. Prior to establishing her business, she has a background of 23 years secretarial administrative experience in the corporate world, working for CEOs and MDs as well as project groups. Her client list reads like a who's who of Australia. Kathy has published several how-to books about the virtual assistant industry and operating a business at home, and with articles published in many business and Christian magazines over several years. Her latest book is titled Worth More Than Rubies, The Value of a Work-at-Home Mom. I met Kathy online because we're both members of Bev Mahone's Baby Boomer Diva Web of Fame. And just this week, Kathy announced to us that she has been nominated for Australian of the Year for 2008. So please join me in congratulating Kathy. Kathy is also the author of a dozen blogs, the main topic of today's session. Kathy will share her blogging journey, including why she started blogging, how she uses blogging to promote her other business ventures, and how she turned one of her blogs into a book, that and much more. So if you want to follow along, again, go to kathythomas.com, that's KathieThomas.com, and click on the link to blogs. Welcome, Kathy. Tell us, how did you get started blogging?
Thank you, Heidi. That was a great introduction. Well, actually, blogging kind of happened like accident. I really didn't know what it was about back in 2005. I have a client who always wants to try out the latest and greatest thing and sends me off on all these exploring expeditions, and I thought, oh no, here's another one of these things that she wants to try. And so I sort of started looking at blogging very reluctantly. And she wanted me to set up a blog for her because she'd been reading about it in a e-zine she receives. And I thought, well, the best way for me to really understand how anything works is to try it out for myself. I need to be able to claim some ownership of anything I'm trying out so that I can really explore it and understand it. So I started up a blog for A Clayton's Secretary, which is my virtual assistant business. And only submitted blog posts to it just every now and then, maybe once or twice a month, and did that for about 5 or 6 months. And then close to Christmas 2005, I do an annual family Christmas newsletter, and it suddenly occurred to me that maybe I could actually do the Christmas newsletter as a blog for my family. So I started up my second blog for the family, and I thought, there's no way I'll ever want more than two blogs, one business one, one personal one. In the meantime, I actually started the client blog up for her as well, but she was never submitting articles to it, and even to this day, she still does not understand what blogging's about. I'm the one who posts the articles up there for her when I nag them about them. Anyway, Christmas that year, I did the family Christmas, and one of our cats went missing for 4 days in the intense heat, because this time of the year here in Australia it is quite hot, and today they're actually forecasting 41 degrees Celsius, which I believe is around about 112 degrees Fahrenheit, so it's going to be a very hot day today. And so this poor cat was missing for 4 days in this intense heat. We didn't know if he was getting any food, we didn't know if he was getting any water, we didn't know if he was injured. And then when he finally came home, he was thirsty and he was hungry and thin, and he had an injured paw, and we had to take him to the vet. So I took photographs and wrote about him on this family blog. And suddenly I started getting posts from people, like comments from people all around the world. Oh, the poor thing, is he okay? How is your cat? And I was suddenly addicted. Here were people commenting on something I'd written, and that's what really kicked me off with blogging. Are you still there, Heidi? Did you want to ask another question?
Oh, absolutely. I've got lots of questions. As our people who have attended these in the past can attest to. And I'm very excited because we have lots of people in the room. And I, of course, wanted to welcome Bev Mahone, the founder of Baby Boomer Diva Web of Fame, particularly because that's how I found you, Kathy. So thank you, Bev, for being here. And for all the folks on the phone line, we seem to not be able to... The phone line is having a little difficulty hearing the sound is good on my end, but it's coming in a little muffled. So for those of you on the phone line, I apologize if it's not as good as it could be. I will be sending a link to the Baby Boomer Divas to listen to this, and anybody else who'd like the link to this blog discussion, you can send me an email at Heidi@wekai.org and I'll send you the link, because we're not actually going to publish it anywhere. So thank you again, Kathy, and wow, that's quite a story. When you talk about blogging, I mean, I looked at your site and I thought I was a little bit of a, you know, blog maniac with 4 blogs, and here you have a dozen. So this is quite impressive, and it sounds like you've been blogging a lot longer than many of us have. So you're definitely the right person for this project, for this discussion today. So my next question is, what blogging platform do you use and why, and or platforms?
Okay, well, I started off with Blogger, blogger.com, which is BLOGGER.com for any who's not familiar with it. Blogger's owned by Google these days. A lot of people seem to think because it is owned by Google that you will actually get up on the search engines quicker, but that's not true. All of the blogging platforms seem to have an equal access to that. So I started with Blogger, and I had the family blog and my business blog and my client's blog all in Blogger. But I've been hearing about WordPress, and I wanted to explore WordPress. So I started looking for another excuse for a blog. And in fact, it was really funny how it all came about. I was actually in church one day listening to my pastor with a sermon, and he used a phrase called God incidents instead of coincidence. And he was talking about different God incidences that had happened in his life. And I thought, oh, that's a great idea for an article. I think I'll write that down. So I started writing ideas down in church that morning, and then as the morning progressed, I was beginning to think, no, I won't do an article. I'll do a series of articles and I'll create a blog. But then before I actually decided to create that blog, I got another idea for another one. I had a memory of a discussion I had actually with another pastor some years ago, a woman, who had been telling me about the Proverbs 31 woman some years ago. And for those of you who are not familiar, the Proverbs 31 woman is actually in the Old Testament. And she is a businesswoman and a work-at-home mum. And I thought, that would be great to really explore and study. So I used that as my excuse for my third blog and to actually set one up in WordPress and to test it out. But what I didn't realise was that right at the beginning of Proverbs 31 is a discussion between a king and his mother. And it's actually from verse 10 onwards that she starts to give him a description of what kind of wife to look for. Prior to that, she's actually talking to him about how he should conduct his life. And one of those instructions is about not mixing alcohol with rulership or leadership, how alcohol can impair your judgment. So I'm writing about this in this WordPress blog. And a journalist in the US found it. Apparently there was a senator at the time who was experiencing a drinking problem. This must have been early 2006, I think it was. And he was looking for references on the web that talked about leadership and alcohol, found my blog reference via Google, and actually started linking to my blog and pointing to it via his journalist reports. And suddenly, before I knew it, I had thousands of people starting to visit my blog. And the reason why I found out the story of what happened was simply because I saw a link on my blog from him, and I went and contacted him to find out why he was linking to my blog and all of that. I was really, really curious. So that's how come I found out what happened. So by the time I got to the start of the Proverbs 31 woman, I already had this audience that was visiting my blog on a daily basis. And so then I went on to actually write a devotional on every single verse about what this Proverbs 31 woman was. It was a real exploration for me. And then during that process, I actually had women who started to email me and pour their whole lives out to me. Women who would put comments on my blog saying, I need your advice, or thank you for helping me. I've been going through this problem. I really needed to hear this right now. A woman pastor from America actually came on and started talking about Wise Counsel. And it just blossomed.
Wow. And, you know, my next question is, what do you write about and how do you keep up with all your blogs? Because when this is only three and you've got three totally different topics that you're writing about. So how do you do that? And then Catherine Franz has a question that might be a good time to ask after that, which is what you're talking about using blog topics. Are they for fiction stories or nonfiction information? So if you would answer those two questions, Kathy, that would be great.
Okay, well, I love writing. I love writing with a passion. When I was probably about 13 or 14, I got my first poem published in a state newspaper. And when I saw my name in print, that was it. I was hooked, and I've been writing ever since. So once I started to understand how blogs could be interactive and you could involve your audience, it didn't take much to begin to realize that I could write about anything. Yes, Roy, I've just seen your comment and you're most welcome to contact me. I just wanted to be able to write about anything. So I did start up the God Incidents blog and I started to scour the web for God incidences, and then I discovered that there was a couple called Stephen and Kathy Rose who'd actually written a book about God incidences, so I've got them linked on my blog and we've been conversing with each other, and I get people who send me their God incident stories so I can add them to the blog. Is that a bit better, Catherine, I hope? So it went from there. And every time I kept thinking I would write an article about something, I would often find that I had more than one article in me about a particular topic. So there would be another idea for a blog. I should say that I actually own my own web server these days. I provide my own web hosting. I do that for myself and for my clients and family. So once I began to really understand how WordPress worked, and one of the reasons why I wanted to explore WordPress was so that I could offer the blogging platform as another service to my clients. I actually installed WordPress on my server, shifted my blogs over to my server, and from then on, if I got an idea for a blog, within an hour I could have a domain name registered, a web space up, the blogging software installed, and a blog started. So you could say I'm very addicted. Not all the blogs I own are actually on this list. I need to update this list. I think it's about 14 or 15 now. I just keep finding more topics. But I must admit, some of these topics are actually ideas to get started with books. And this is to go on with what Catherine was asking about. Catherine, you can use it for non-fiction and for fiction ideas. I've tried writing fiction. I get started, I never get finished. So I stick with non-fiction. And non-fiction for me is great because it's about real life, it's about personal experiences. And I've always got so much I want to write about and share with people. And what blogging has shown to me is that people out there, they need to hear this stuff. If I'm going through something, then sure enough, there's someone else who's going through it too. And if I write about it and they find it, it seems to bless them in some way. It seems to be able to resonate with them or help them to feel better. And in doing that, I know that my writing is achieving a goal that I'm actually able to help other people. And I think for any writer, that is a dream, whether it's fiction or non-fiction, being able to actually do something for other people through writing is a great thing to do. My Proverbs 31 blog, I'll pop that screen gone blank, so maybe Heidi's changing there. Ah, I have no idea why that's in Chinese. Is everybody else seeing that in Chinese? I haven't been on the site for a couple of days, so I'll have to have a look and see what's going on there. But the Proverbs 31 blog is proverbs31-woman.com, so you'll be able to have a look at that. I'll hand the mic back over to Heidi so that she can ask another question.
And great. For those of you on the phone line, if you hear that Kathy's breaking in and out, I think it's a time delay because it doesn't sound like we're losing information. We're simply hearing her come in and out. So hopefully it's not going to interfere too much with the context of the information. The recording is such that it's only records when there's sound, so the recording will come out a little bit clearer. Kathy, yes, I did try to go over to the God Incidents one, and it came up kind of strange, but here's the Proverbs 31, and I posted that in the room, and I'll synchronize it. Hopefully everybody can see it, and if not, if you simply click on the link in the text chat to Proverbs31-woman.com, then you can actually pull it up on your own website as a pop-up box. So let's move on. Kathy, that's wonderful. So obviously you have more than one target audience. So we're going to go on to, we're going to ask another question, and then we're going to go back to that maybe. And yes, your blog does look beautiful. Carol Deckard says your blog looks beautiful, and I would totally agree. What are some of the advantages, Kathy, of having a blog, in your opinion, or having blogs over regular web pages, especially with respect to marketing?
Okay. One of the advantages is that blogs are current. They've got fresh content being added to on a regular basis if people are blogging on a regular basis. Now, websites can have the same thing too. However, I find with a blog, they're more search engine friendly. Now, this particular template people are looking at, this is actually a standard WordPress template, and I've just modified it a little bit. I love the fact that WordPress and Blogger have got thousands and thousands of free templates out there, and you can add all sorts of widgets and all sorts of plugins and extras to the blog so that you've got bits and pieces happening in there. What does happening with blogs is the minute you post them, a new post, it automatically pings Google and all the other blog search engines out there. There's Ping-O-Matic and there's heaps of others. And I actually have an extremely long ping list for anybody who's interested. Quite happy to email it to you, especially if you're using WordPress, because there's actually a place in your dashboard where you can actually copy and paste this ping list. So every time you post a new entry, the search engines are automatically pinged. Now, I talked before about the fact that Blogger was owned by Google, and people might think that Blogger has an advantage over Google. Well, I can tell you right now that it doesn't matter who you're blogging with, and I know there's Typepad. I haven't used Typepad, but there is Typepad, and there are other blogging platforms as well. But with one of my blogs with WordPress, last year I posted something, and I got a Google alert less than 2 hours later on that particular topic, and my new post was actually showing up in the Google alert. So I had proof then that one of my newest posts in WordPress was actually being sent out by Google to everybody in less than a 2 hour period. So as far as marketing is concerned, blogging is really good in that way, and getting into the search engines and letting people know that you've got some fresh content up there. But there are other things to it too, particularly with the dashboard in WordPress. You can actually see who is linking to you. So if you've written something and someone else is writing about the thing that you've written and they've referred to your blog and put in a link, that shows up in your dashboard, and you can see straight away that people are linking to you and writing about you. So it's I guess it's part of what they call link love. We're spreading the love. And sharing information from one blog to another, people tend to travel from blog to blog to blog. The good thing about blogs, we mentioned before about all the different topics that I've got, blogs should be theme related. They should be on a particular topic or a particular theme. Now, the reason for doing that is that people can follow what you're writing about. If you write a blog, you will have seen lots of personal blogs where people write about anything and everything and they go all over the place. The people who are interested in those blogs are mainly just family and friends, not many others. But when you're writing on a theme or a topic, there'll be thousands of people worldwide who are really, really interested in a particular theme or topic, and they will follow it. So you can actually use a blog to position yourself as an expert on that theme or topic. And people will come to you for advice. They will write about you. They will refer to you. So if your blog in particular is related or connected to your business in some way, then that is going to be really advantageous for your business. For example, my virtual assistant blog is the highest ranking virtual assistant blog in Technorati. Now, for those who don't blog, Technorati is the blog directory in the world. There are millions of blogs. I think something like 14 million or something I read, blogs that are listed with Technorati. So in the virtual assistant industry or field, I've got the highest ranking virtual assistant blog. And I've deliberately worked towards making that blog the blog for the industry, for anybody who wants to learn about using a virtual assistant, or if they want to become a virtual assistant, my blog has become the resource for them. So as far as marketing is concerned, blogs do tend to walk it over websites. They're very easy to use. If you're not a programmer, you don't know anything about HTML, doesn't matter, you can use a blog because they're very easy to write to and to publish to.
Okay, now for the topic that we're all waiting to hear about, and thank you for all that wonderful, wonderful advice. I understand that one of your blogs became a book. Can you tell us how that came about? Please, please.
Can you repeat that, Heidi?
Sure. The topic we're here for today is about turning your blogs into books, so tell us. We understand that one of your blogs became a book. Will you tell us how that came about, Kathy?
Yes, certainly. And in fact, it's the blog that you're looking at the moment, the Proverbs 31 Woman. Because this blog was getting thousands of visitors every single month, and I had women writing to me asking for advice or making comments because something I'd written had helped them, I shared this with my business coach. And he said to me, you really need to do something with this. He said, there's a book in there. You need to be able to expand on the topic and add to it and make use of what you've done. So for a couple of months I just really said, okay. And I thought, oh, that would be nice to do, put it on the back burner. I'm such a busy person. How am I going to get time to write a book? But he actually kept nagging me about it, and I'm so glad he did. And then in September or October 2006, I actually got booked to speak at a Christian women's, professional women's conference in Brisbane, in Queensland, in Australia. And when I told my coach about this, he said to me, there you are, that's your launch date. Now you've got to write your book. And I went home that day and I thought, I could really do this. I could really write this book. And so I started to make some plans. And what I did was I looked at all of my blog posts, because each post related to a verse from Proverbs 31. And I thought, there's the start of my chapter. Now, what else can I say about that particular thing? And so I set aside time every single week, usually Sunday mornings, because our church holds multiple services over the weekends, and Saturday nights are my husband's and my favourite time to go, and that way we can sleep in a bit on Sunday mornings. So Sunday mornings became my writing time, because usually most of the family were out and the house was quiet, and I could have 2 or 3 hours of dedicated quiet time where I didn't have to do client work and I didn't have to do anything for anybody else, and I could write. So over a period of about 6 or 7 months, I gradually turned each blog post into a full-blown chapter for this book. And then we started looking at titles, and my husband and I discussed a whole lot of things, and I discussed it with my business coach, and we kept coming back to Proverbs 31:10. She is worth far more than rubies. And then I thought, that has to be the title. So we brought it down because we didn't want it to be more than 3 or 4 words, and Worth More Than Rubies became the title, and then the subtitle was The Value of a Work at Home Mum. So that was the start of being able to write the book. But I was very naive, because even though I've written lots of how-to books, most of them are e-books, or I've had them published by local printers, I've never gone to the extent of publishing a book of this style. This is like a full-blown novel, and so I found that after finishing writing the book, that really was only the beginning of the exercise, not the end of it.
Well, I'm sure it was a long and arduous journey of love. So what advice would you offer someone who wants to turn their blog into a book? What would be the first thing you'd suggest, and maybe Can you outline a process that you used or that would be valuable to our listeners to help them in getting that? And then, of course, you know, we do want to talk about how you published it.
Yes, certainly. Well, once I knew that I was actually going to get this book happening, that it was going to get published, I went through a whole lot of different processes. First off, I knew what the title was going to be, so I went and purchased a domain name straight away because I knew I was going to have a separate website for that particular book. And maybe I'm just addicted to websites and blogs, but to me it seemed important that I did have a website, which is also a blog site, for marketing and promoting the book. So that was one of the first things that I did. I belong to a professional networking group online called LinkedIn.com, and what I did was I posted questions there asking about publishers, asking about the difference between self-publishing as opposed to getting a publisher who would take the book on themselves. I wanted to know about time frames. I wanted to know about costs. I wanted to know about book launches. Anything and everything that I could glean. And of course, the more answers I got, the more questions I had, because people would bring up different things in their answers and I'd think, oh, I haven't thought about that either, I need to know about that as well. So I'd say probably when I was very close to getting the book nearly finished and the title had been settled on, that's when I started looking at all the other things that were involved. A graphic designer, for example, for the book cover. I didn't know how much that was going to cost me and what was involved. And I actually was going to ask a couple of graphic designers that are in my own church to give me an outline of what they could do. And I knew I had a particular look in mind, but I'm not a graphic designer, so I had no idea what the end result could really be. I actually went through guru.com. Someone in my church, in my writers group, actually suggested to me to try guru.com because he writes children's games and he needs covers for CDs done quickly and inexpensively. And through Guru, I found this wonderful professional graphic designer who actually designs books for churches throughout Canada and the US. And when I saw the style of book covers that he did, I knew David was the right guy for me. So the book cover that you see on the screen at the moment on the right is what he designed for me, and it was the very first design that he did. I didn't even bother looking at any others, because as soon as I saw this one, I knew that was exactly what I wanted.
And it's a beautiful book cover. I think we should probably click on it and go over to the site. Is the website called worthmorethanrubies.com?
Yes, so I've just put it up there. Sorry, I didn't put the HTTP in there, so it hasn't hyperlinked. But yes, if you click on the link that says Worth More Than Rubies, it is hyperlinked to the book.
Okay. I went ahead and put that in there, and I don't know why it's not coming up. If you want to, Kathy, put in the HTTP. Oh, maybe it is coming up now. Oh, there we go. If you put it in as an HTTP, then the people in the room can actually click on it. And in the meantime, it's coming up for those of you who don't see it yet. And it should take some people longer for it to synchronize and everybody to see it. But it is absolutely a beautiful cover. Very well done. And guru.com is a great resource for everybody if you're looking for contract work too. So keep that in mind. So are there any other resources you recommend for us, for those thinking of turning their blogs into a book, Kathy?
There are so many things. You will see on the web browser in front of you now that I've got a link to Lulu as well as to a couple of bookstores and my publisher. When you're self-publishing, again, I went through LinkedIn.com for advice on publishers. I found that if you're actually going to go through a publisher who will take the book on for yourself, that there is a very long time involved. I had a time frame that I had to meet because of this conference I was booked for. I had to have the book finished and ready by September in 2007. So I didn't have the luxury of 3 to 6 months to wait for a publisher to look at the manuscript and decide whether or not they wanted the book. So I had to go the route of self-publishing. And Fontaine Press is the publisher I ended up settling on. A number of Australians on LinkedIn gave me names and contact details of several publishers in Australia that I could try, and after discussing with about three or four of them, Fontaine Press was the one I decided to go with, and which is great because they actually do Christian books as well as other books, and I've actually opened up some doors for them that they hadn't anticipated would happen, so I've developed a really good relationship with this publisher. Lulu.com is great for people who are outside of the US and they want to be able to get into the US. It is an open door for being able to get into Amazon.com. It's an open door for all sorts of things. And if people want to purchase in USD and have a local delivery, purchase through Lulu. Lulu does print on demand, so you can have one copy printed at a time or lots of copies printed at a time. So once my book was finished here in Australia and I actually had the manuscript in the finished format and I had my cover, I was actually able to upload that to Lulu as well. So it means the book is also for sale in the US as well as in Australia. So there were a couple of other resources that I was able to get happening. I decided to set up a blog type site for the book for a couple of reasons. WordPress will actually let you have static pages, so the home page is static and is actually not a blog, but it's got the blogging platform there, so I can create a blog. At the time that the book was coming out and I was starting to promote it, there were a number of media articles about women working from home or kids going to kinder and things that related to my topic, so I was able to link to those media articles and blog about it. So it seemed a perfect avenue for helping to raise awareness about my book and promoting it. So that's another thing, is to be aware of what's happening in the media at the time you want to start promoting your book. And with Coorong and Vimix, there are a couple of major bookstores here in Australia. Coorong's a Christian bookstore. Dimmix, I don't know if you've got Dimmix in America, but it's a book chain over here. And I was actually quite cheeky. I contacted the head office here in Victoria, in their Melbourne office, and asked them if they would do my book launch. I thought, well, I might. There's no harm in asking. All they can do is say no. And the book launch coordinator said to me, well, look, we really only just work with people who are well known. And I said to her, well, I am in my industry worldwide. And I think that kind of floored her, and before I knew it, she was saying yes. So we organised the book launch through Dimmix, and I was absolutely astounded with that, how that all came together. Dimmix, I think, got very nervous about 10 days out because we still didn't have a lot of bookings. I was a relative unknown to them, and they weren't sure if we were going to get the numbers, and I said, Jim, don't worry, we'll get the numbers because we were working my database. They wouldn't work their database because I was not a well-known author, but we got the numbers, we got the people there, the book launch went really, really well, and there's actually photos of it on this website. If you click on the events link and scroll down, you'll see some photos from the book launch. And afterwards, the coordinator from Dimmix said to me that was the best book launch they have ever hosted, over and above all their well-known authors. She said to me the people were so encouraging, supportive, interested in the topic, and I think that probably showed people coming because they want to meet someone who's a well-known author compared to whether they're interested in the topic. But there were things happening in there that other people might not have, that the coordinator wouldn't have really understood. My pastor was there to encourage me and support me and to close off the launch. The woman pastor who originally talked to me about the Proverbs 31 topic actually launched the whole affair. There was a real wonderful atmosphere in the whole room, and the amount of sales per head in that room was the highest that they've ever had for any book launch.
Wow, that's impressive. So the question is, there's lots of questions, and I'm sure that the room is dying to ask them. So I'm going to tell you to go ahead and start typing in your questions and get ready to grab the microphone, because we're going to be asking Kathy questions in just a moment. But I guess the question is, what did you do to promote your book prior to that your launch party, because I know that usually the author has to do an awful lot in order to fill the seats. So tell me what you did, and tell our guests what you did, and obviously it was worthwhile if it was the best sales they'd ever had in one of those, and that's really impressive and exciting, Kathy.
Yes, well, I mentioned before that when you finish writing the book, that's just the start of it. I was absolutely stunned with this sudden roller coaster ride that I was on. Promoting and marketing does very much come down to the author, even when you go through one of those large publishers. I've spoken to so many authors since to find out what they've been through. I wrote a press release and I sent that out. I contacted my local newspaper and they came out and did a photograph, a fantastic photograph, which I actually used as my little photo online at lots of different websites these days, me holding my book cover. They wrote a story about me. I contacted some local library. I contacted heaps of bookstores. I nagged people. I sent out promotions. I blogged about the book launch. I wrote about it in my regular newsletters. I have been contacting church groups around Australia, and I'm actually going through this mail out procedure at the moment because I want to get speaking engagements Australia-wide. I'm actually starting to contact people in the US because I want to be able to speak in the US as well. Mahone has got this wonderful function coming up in April that I want to be at, so if anybody knows any women's groups or church groups who would love a speaker on my topic in America around that time, I'm all ears. So I throw out hints all the time to everybody I'm speaking to. My church has been very supportive, and they actually did a whole thing at the church in a service one day and promoted my book and talked to people and ended up instigating a whole lot of book sales for me, which was absolutely fantastic. Getting articles in magazines. I've had heaps of magazines publish articles around Australia. Book reviews. I am constantly contacting people to get book reviews published. So I've had book reviews published online as well as in printed magazines. I'm always, always looking for opportunities. It's something that just doesn't stop.
Wow. I'm going to leave my last three questions to after we ask the audience if they'd like to ask questions. So if you would like to ask a question, now would be a perfect time. You can either type it in the text chat and I will address it to Kathy, or you can raise your hand by clicking on your name and in a little status box or pop-up box will come up and it'll show that you can grab the microphone. I'm going to let go of the microphone because I know a couple people who will want to ask questions right away. And if anybody else does, when you grab the microphone, you will be called upon in order after the other person is through. So, Kathy, if that's okay with you, we're going to go ahead and open it up to questions, and then we will end with my final three. Go ahead and grab the microphone, and the floor is all yours.
Hi, excuse me. Hi, Kathy. I don't have a question so much as some comments that I'd like to make. God incidence, not coincidence. Wow, I love that. I got rid of the word coincidence about 20 years ago, and I've replaced it with my burning bush experience, so you probably understand exactly what I mean by that. And lately I've been making so many really, really cool divine connections, and Kathy, I think you're going to be my newest, latest, greatest divine connection, so I just wanted to have you hear the sound of my voice and let you know that, so I will be connecting with you soon to see if we can resonate with anything. I love where you're coming from and what's happening here. This is amazing, so I just wanted to say that. Hi, Kathy, and I'm Roy.
Delighted to hear it, Roy. Yes, I've heard about the burning bush experience from a few people, too. When I heard my pastor say that that phrase, God incident, that just clicked with me. And it's amazing, if you Google it, just how many times people use that particular word or phrase. So, I know exactly where you're coming from.
Kathy, Anne has a question. She wanted to know, besides Lulu, did you use a publishing house for your book? I know you mentioned it earlier, but maybe you could just reiterate a little bit about that. Because I know a few other people also came in late.
Um, Yes, Fontaine Press in Australia is the publishing house that I've used. Now, Fontaine Press has been really good because they have a self-publishing unit, but they are also an actual publisher. Because I went down the route of self-publishing simply because I didn't have the time frame to wait for a regular publisher, I went through them. And because they are a regular publisher as well, now that they know how well my book is doing, how well it is received, I'm hoping that they might decide to pick up on my next book. And when I say next book, lots of people have asked me, have you got another book? And I do. I have a sequel to the Proverbs 31 woman. I've already started on it. I've already purchased the domain name and have got a sign. Sorry, I'm not sure how much of that you got. For some reason or other, the talk key didn't seem to be working properly. But Fontaine Press is the company that I'm with, and they're a regular publisher as well as a self-publishing unit.
Kathy, Catherine Franz has a question. When you plan your book coming from your blog, do you plan the chapters? In other words, do you do an outline and divide it into sections and then add one question at a time when you blog? If not, what is the process?
Well, because I was actually following, in this case, a chapter from a book in the Bible, I just let the verses guide me. So each verse, in most cases, became a new blog post. And from there, each blog post became a new chapter in the book. So I did it in that way. If I was to turn any of my other blogs into a book, again, I would probably look at my particular blog posts for formulating chapters and then take it from there. It's been an interesting way to write a book, but I think a great way too. It's almost like, you know, connect the dots. You've got all the dots there and you're just connecting them all together. I just noticed the message there about how Wiley Publishers will not publish anything that's been published on the internet because they say it's already been published. Well, I guess it depends on how much of that content has been published. I mean, with my Proverbs 31 Woman blog, it was a verse and then my comment about what that verse meant. But each of those blog posts was really just the start of a chapter. It was like a paragraph. And then there was full-blown chapters written as a result of each post. So the majority of the content in my book wasn't already pre-published. But certainly the publisher that I was working with had no issues with that, and because I was choosing to self-publish, well, that was my decision. The fact that I've been able to generate good sales indicates that whether or not I've got some of that content already up on the web doesn't matter. People want it in printed form. And in fact, I've actually been asked if I would consider doing an audio book as well, because some people I know are dyslexic and have difficulty reading, but they would love to be able to hear the book. So that's a possibility as well.
Kathy, one of the questions was why you didn't consider maybe doing this as an ebook. And then Catherine also said, so you also use some of the feedback as help to add to information into the book. So however you'd like to answer those two questions. I'm trying to keep up with the text because they're coming fast.
I'm glad you're keeping up with it, because it's a bit hard doing that and holding this talk now button down as well. Okay, I did think about doing an ebook, but when you see how beautiful my cover is, and if you actually held it in your hand, you'd know why it's not an ebook. Bev Mahone, I've actually written about something that Bev told me about in the blog on this Worth More Than Rubies website, and it actually says why a printed book instead of an ebook. But the fact is, it can be carried with you anywhere. You can read it on a train or a tram or a plane. And in Beth Mahone's case, she was reading it on a plane and someone actually noticed the book and was asking about it. And the cover does attract attention. One of my daughters sent a photo to me recently of my book in a bookstore. She wanted me to be able to actually see it on the shelves of the bookstore. You know, people aren't going to see an ebook that way. I know an ebook will attract attention on the web, but it won't elsewhere, and I want to be able to get the attention of people who are in bookstores and elsewhere. And the book is so beautiful, in its current form that I can't really see myself at this stage producing it as an e-book. Anne's putting down there about a printed book given the perception of an expert and increased credibility. I guess in some ways there is. I mean, look, the web, as much as there are millions and millions of people on the web, there are still a lot of people out there who don't use the web as second nature. And I don't want to be missing that audience. And because this book is very much about women who want to work at home and want to be there with family, I want to be able to attract those women as well who might not have found me on the web. So there's just something about a printed book. I think there was another question in there. Sorry, I can't remember what the other one was. I might scroll up to have a
look. Well, I am actually going to make a statement about Kathy and her book. First of all, saying that I did read her book on the plane. I read the rest of the book on the plane, and the lady who was sitting beside me, you know, I kept nodding my head in agreement to what Kathy was saying, and the lady said, oh, she said, this must be a really good book, and I said, oh, honey, it is, and then I went on to, you know, explain the parallels between Kathy's own life and my own life with my husband, and so after I finished the last page, she took the book. She read my whole book on the plane while I was finishing Kathy's book, and then she took Kathy's book and she started reading it, but unfortunately she couldn't finish it all because the plane had landed. But I also wanted to say one thing about Kathy, is that Kathy has remained true to her convictions, to her spirituality. And so many authors, you know, switch gears a lot of times. You know, they write one way, and then they write another way another day. But Kathy has remained true to her convictions, and I think that that is a testimony of what a really good writer is about. And that's one of the reasons that we connected, just because, you know, I saw that in her. She never strayed. She hasn't, you know, wavered from her faith. She maintains that sense of dignity, integrity, and that is so important to do as an author.
Gee, thanks, Bev. That's really nice of you. Thank you so much. I know that the other thing was about the feedback. Catherine Franz asked about the feedback. Had I used that as well? There were a couple of comments in the blog that I really wanted to be able to use in the book. So I contacted the authors of those comments and got their permission, and they were delighted to let me use their comments in the book because I really felt that it added value and backed up what I've been writing about, and also demonstrated to the reader how other people were feeling. So yes, I did use some of the feedback to help add to the book. Now, more comments, more questions. If you've got others, Heidi, otherwise I'll scroll through.
Anne wants to know if you paid the publisher for printing the book, and I think I've got one more I missed.
Yes, I did. Because I self-published, I had to pay the publisher for printing the book. I actually put a step-by-step sheet together of everything I went through because I run a writer's group through my church here in my home, and a lot of the writers, some of them haven't yet gotten through this process of being able to write. They want to write a book, they know something's inside them, but they wanted to be able to find out what was involved. So I actually journaled the process that I went through and produced a step-by-step process so I could share that with them, and I've since shared that with a couple of clients and some other people, and I'm quite happy to share it with people here. It actually has a table on the back sheet. It's a two-page document, that's all it is, and it explains about some of the costs and everything that I went through. You know, I had a really interesting time during the time that I had to hand money over to the publisher to get this book published. As most of you would have gathered, I'm very strong in my faith and my beliefs, and I went through a lot of spiritual attack during the process of getting this book finished. A lot of attack in a lot of areas. Everything that I wrote about, all of those areas were tested in my life. One of those things being finance, and through a series of events I suddenly found myself stripped of a lot of money at the very time that I had to hand over my money to the publisher to get the book printed. And I went forward for prayer about this at my church, and my pastor said to me, why do you think this is happening? I said, I know why it's happening. I said, I'm getting spiritually attacked because of this book. The enemy doesn't want this book out there, but the book needs to be out there for people. And as soon as I verbalized it and he recognized it, we prayed about that together and we got a team of people praying together and some money came together and I was able to get the book published on time and out there in time for the conference. And it's been absolutely amazing because a lot of things have happened since that book came out. The book was launched on the 20th of September, so it hasn't been out all that long. But I've had some amazing, amazing stories and things happen since then. Still some areas of attack and testing, but some wonderful things. And as you heard before when Heidi mentioned about my latest nomination for Australian of the Year, and that was unexpected, and I only found out about that on Monday. So there's been a lot of blessings that have come through too. Now, Anne's asking about where we can get that information. In a moment, I'll actually put my email address in the field, if that's okay with you, Heidi, and I'm quite happy for people to email me direct and I can actually send that information to them.
Well, excellent, Kathy, because that's my last question, but I do have one, I have two before that. What plans do you have for your blogs this year? And if you would share, if you have any favorite bloggers, we would love to know who they are and who you blog with regularly.
Okay, well, plans for blogging. I actually want to write more on my existing blogs. My sequel to Proverbs 31 Woman, which is actually about the Titus 2 woman, I want to be able to write more of that and really get stuck into that for this year. One of the things that I have actually done, oh, Catherine, thanks. It was nice to have you here. Enjoy your teleclass. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there. But with the blogs, I just want to be able to keep them up to date. I know what I was going to say. I've actually set aside Fridays every week now for dedicated writing time. And one of the things I love about WordPress is that you can actually pre-publish posts. You can set the dates and times. So you can actually have four or five posts already up there ready, but they won't publish until that date and time comes. So I tend to use Friday where I can pre-write a lot of stuff for blogs and then don't have to worry about it for the rest of the week. Of course, that doesn't mean I don't get inspiration at other times, and if I do, I will write. But I like to set aside time every week. My business has gotten to that position now where I can actually use Fridays for me time instead of client time. So I love being able to do that. Favourite bloggers? Probably a couple of bloggers here in Australia. Alistair Cameron is one. He has always some good content on his blog. Another one is Craig Harper, who's actually a total card. He's a real scream, this guy. Craig's actually a fitness expert and guru. He's on the radio here in Australia a lot and always talking to people about fitness. So he writes really, really funny blogs. So I'll write the domains down for those in a moment. And he's always got cartoons and things on there. I belong to some blogging chat forums and communities, so I mix and mingle with heaps of other bloggers. But I don't really have a lot of favourite bloggers, probably because I'm concentrating so much on the ones that I do. But I do go and visit every single person who comments on my blogs or have linked to my blogs. Those show up on my blogs, and I always go back and visit those people as well.
And you just gave a wonderful bit of advice, probably without even realizing it, is that the fact that people who visit your site and comment on it, you go back to their sites and visit them. And that's what it's all about. It's creating that link love and going back and forth and meeting people and making connections. The whole social networking dynamic has changed because of blogging. Anne asked if you use any of the social networks as well. And I know you mentioned LinkedIn earlier. Are there any others, Kathy, that you use?
Yes, I'm actually a member at MySpace.com. I joined that because of the baby boomer divas. Up until that time, I really didn't have much time for social networks because I've always been so business-focused and business-oriented. So I joined LinkedIn.com for the business aspect. I've made lots and lots of friends there and then email them off the list. But yes, I belong to MySpace. I also belong to Facebook. A lot of people from my church are members of Facebook, so I've joined that, and I've got family members there as well, so I've joined that as well. I belong to those, but I don't, you know, I belong to many others a great deal. I do belong to a lot of Yahoo groups, chat forums, because they deliver via email. For me, something that's out of sight, out of mind, I tend to forget, so a lot of the web-based ones, unless I've got email reminders to come to them, I tend to forget about them, so it's good to belong to the email type forums, and I guess you could say they're social or business networks as well. Now, Roy's got his hand up. He wants to ask a question. And with respect to Facebook and MySpace, again, if you email me, I can probably let you know what they are. I don't know their URLs off by heart. I'm sorry.
Yeah, hi, Kathy. Are you on Skype? I asked you that question in the forum there. If you are, can you give me your Skype ID, or if you prefer, just connect with my Skype ID. It's my name, Roy Montero, all one word. I'd love to connect with you on Skype if you're not on Skype. And if you're not on Skype, you need to be. So this is, and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm gently persuading you to run, not walk, to Skype.com and get yourself an account and connect with me, because I'm going to go out on a limb and make a prediction that 2008 is going to be the year of the Skype room, and you definitely want to be a part of that. So that's something I would like to talk to you about. My question to you is, are you on any mastermind groups? Do you have 2, 3, 4, or 5 people that you connect with and mastermind and brainstorm, and is that something that you recommend? And if you're not already doing that, I'd like to talk to you about that. Thanks, Kathy.
Hi, Roy. Yes, I am definitely on Skype. I'm actually, apart from being a virtual assistant and a blogger and author, I'm also a virtual assistant coach and trainer. So I actually use Skype when I'm going through my coaching sessions with some of my students. So Skype has been very, very useful in that way. I don't publicly give out my Skype address simply because I end up with so many people trying to contact me on Skype when I'm trying to work during the day. But I'm quite happy to add your Skype address to Skype, and then I will contact you, Roy, so that'll be fine to do that. Mastermind groups. From time to time, I've belonged to mastermind groups. I don't belong to any at this particular time. It really depends on what projects I'm involved with or what's happening in my life. I do have a small group of friends who are really my prayer buddies. So when I've got something that's troubling me or something that I am excited about or looking for direction on, I will often contact them via email. It's a bit like a prayer chain, and they will pray for me, or we will discuss things back and forth. I've also got one particular person that I actually spend some time with, and at the moment she's in South Africa, but when she comes back we'll probably be meeting again on a fortnightly basis where we can actually sit and discuss and talk and pray together. So I've got that type of thing happening, but with respect to mastermind, as I said, occasionally I have. In the past I used to meet with some other public speakers, and we used to talk about how we were going to get speaking engagements and knock out ideas together, and I've met with other business people as well, but I do belong to a number of business networking groups and get to meet with people on a regular basis through there. So we, in some respects, I probably get some of the benefits of the mastermind without it actually being focused in that way.
Great questions. We are almost out of time, folks, and I'd like to respect Kathy's time, being that she got up really early to be with us. In her part of the world, it is tomorrow, and it's a little bit after 7 a.m., so you can imagine she got up before 6 a.m. to be with us. And Kathy, I again want to thank you for that. I will make sure that I know the time differential next time I have someone so far up, so far away. Oh, if you're just warming up, we could stay here all day, because I have plenty of questions. But I would like to ask you the last two on my list, if you don't mind. And if anybody else does have any questions, and Kathy, you'd like to stick around a little bit, that's fine. I mean, we have the room all afternoon. I could be here for another 2 hours. One of my questions is, if you had it to do all over again, Kathy, what, if anything, would you have done differently with your blogs?
I probably would have spent a lot more time early in the start. I mean, it took me a while to really understand, and I guess that's because I was busy with work. And so, you know, when Lorraine asked me all those years ago to first do it, I was very reluctant because she was always off on this latest idea. But once I understood what it was about, then I started to dedicate a lot more time. I saw Carol's comment just then. Thank you so much, Carol. Yeah, the audiobook I think is something I definitely need to think about for this year and perhaps make that one of my projects. That would be really, really cool. The declutter, Anne, I'd be interested in knowing who the speaker is for that. One of my clients, in fact my client Lorraine that I was speaking about, she specialises in that topic as well. She's called the office organiser. But yeah, going back to what I would have done quicker, I think I probably just would have explored more, a lot more quickly, and did a lot more writing a lot more quickly. As far as everything else is concerned, I'm not sure that I would have made any changes to what I've done. I think I've travelled the path that I was supposed to travel, and it's worked out well for me. And it's good to be able to adopt things or adopt ideas and explore them. It's always worth exploring things to see if there's something there.
Great answer. And I wanted to mention, because it was mentioned earlier about social networks, on the first Friday of February, which is February 1st, we will be talking a lot about using social networking sites such as Facebook, MySpace, and LinkedIn in particular to promote your products and services. So because our first Fridays focus a lot on the Web 2.0 issues and topic, I hope you'll all be there and join us. Jen Givler has gotten lots of wonderful clients through Facebook and wants to share her story with us. So we're going to be talking to her and a couple of other people. We'll be doing a panel discussion for that particular hour. So I just wanted to mention that since that was part of the topic. And Kathy, if there's any more questions, feel free to ask. You can step up to the microphone. You can type them in. We'd love to hear from you. I think I've asked all my questions. The last one was how to contact you, and I know you've already put in that information here. So, Kathy, again, it has been just wonderful having you with us today. I so appreciate your time, the time you've taken and the extra effort. Oh, yes, I'll get a Stumble Upon leader, Roy. That sounds like a great idea. The Stumble Upon and Twitter, I was thinking of using in a separate session on that day. So thank you. If you know anybody who are Stumble Upon or Twitter experts, we could have a different panel and talk about those things. I really want to focus on the more traditional non-blogging social networking platforms for this particular panel discussion, and then we could do a panel discussion about those. So thank you very much. Yes, any other questions or comments, Kathy? Anybody else? Any final comments, Kathy?
Well, I just want to thank you once again, Heidi, for inviting me. I was delighted to participate. I always enjoy being able to share information and experiences to anyone who's willing to listen. So it's always good to be able to do that. And again, I just encourage anybody who's trying to contact me, if you missed what my email address was or haven't seen it in the text chat there, I can be contacted via any one of my blogs or any one of my websites. I'm online 7 days a week, all the time, and I usually answer emails within a short space of time. If you haven't heard back from me within 24 hours, it may mean that I'm away, because it's extremely rare for me not to have responded before then. Well,
Kathy, I apologize for cutting you off. I didn't realize you were grabbing the microphone at the very same time. Again, comments in the room are great. eWednesday chat today. Thank you. Very informative. I wanted to thank everybody for being here, a lot of whom we haven't seen in quite some time. So to reconnect with all of you has certainly been wonderful for me. And we have a couple of newcomers today, and I want to thank you for being here as well, and hope you'll come back to some of our events. This event takes place the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. On the 23rd, we have someone from the UK who's going to be talking about The topic is how to sell more books in the back of the room. Books and resources. So it's going to be a wonderful topic for those of you who are interested in books and writing and such. Trying to remember the name of my speaker, and I will post that in. It is the 23rd. It will be again at, it's in the morning at 10 a.m. Because the time difference over there is later in the afternoon. So our speaker is going to be here at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So Roy, that means you have to get up early if you'd like to attend that session. And she has sold several hundred thousand dollars worth of product back of the room sales as an author, and had contacted me when we were doing the book summit. And unfortunately, we already had everything planned and she couldn't speak on the days that I had available. So we just planned to keep in touch, and we did, and she contacted me a week ago. And so the 23rd, we're going to have that program. And again, as I mentioned before, Kathy, I'll have to send it to you. And then the first Friday is our usual topic about blogging and Web 2.0. And you've all given me some great ideas. So if you have any resources or people you'd like me to contact for interviewing about blogging and Web 2.0, feel free to send